This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three.
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Hey, thank you. Over the weeks, we have seen individual workouts from Warriors players at the practice facility inside Shea Center, while the push toward the playoffs in Orlando at the NBA restart continues. In this edition of Warriors Sound, putting the focus on thrillers in the bubble. We're joined here by Tim Roy. And Tim, the last time we talked, you called it, and then we saw it. Jazz Nuggets, double OT. One of the very best games of the year.
Final seconds, here we go. Mitchell looked at the clock, heaves one up. Good if it goes. That's it. Denver's got a winner.
That was a great game. That to be totally honest, watching them play down in Orlando, it's been harder for me. As much as I love watching the NBA, it's been harder for me to really get into it. That game, I was really into. I was riveted by that game, and it was great to see them go back and forth. Denver, remember, we've been talking a little bit about how their backcourt has been healthy. They got Jamal Murray back, and that was a huge difference for them. You know, of course, the Jazz are missing Bogdanovich, but I just thought that both teams are going back and forth like a playoff game, and that, to me, has been the best game that I've seen so far. They were no quarter, no easy shots, going back and forth, intensity. There was strategy. There was excellent play. Again, a thoroughly enjoyable basketball game, and it's got me fired up about the NBA.
You know, it gets you thinking, you know, really, as great as Jamal Murray was in that game, Donovan Mitchell in the loss was super strong, but it just didn't come out for the Jazz in this particular game.
Yeah, you know, Mitchell's very good, but he is a scorer. He's not a shooter. So he's a volume shooter. So if he gets 26 points, usually it takes him about 20 shots. So sometimes that can be problematic for the Jazz. And I think what they have to find now is a solid secondary scorer. Can it be Joe Ingles to be that guy? Can it be Rudy Gobert off of their high screen and roll? But they have to find that secondary scorer if they're going to make a dent in the playoffs. I think Utah, just because of their margin is thin, and they, again, they really miss a guy like Bogdanovich. You know, they're, you know, it's, at the time of this taping, they're right in that, you know, race with Houston, Oklahoma City, and of course the Jazz. They're all right there, a game and a half separating four from six, with about three games left. So they're in a precarious position. If they started the playoffs today, which they don't, as we know, but it would be Denver and Utah, and that would be a series that I would like to see. So I think the Jazz would like to stay. I don't think the Jazz would mind staying in sixth spot, simply because they don't match up well with the Houston Rockets. They can't, for whatever reason, the Rockets are a team that the Jazz have trouble handling. And so I think, you know, a Denver series to them, I think, would be a lot more. They could solve that series, I think, better than the Rockets.
And talk about scoring. You got another 50-plus point game from Portland's Damian Lillard, the Oakland native. 51 points in a bounce-back game on Sunday. The Blazers lost Saturday to the Clippers, but then beating Philly on Sunday to keep things very interesting, Tim.
Yeah, you know, Portland, they're mystifying to me right now. And I think part of it is we're underrating working Nurkic and, to a certain extent, Collins back into their lineup. I think that I think that they just aren't in rhythm yet. And the reason I say that is their game against Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Embiid went out during that game. Simmons, of course, we know is out. So that should have been a very winnable game for Portland, but it came right down to the wire. They had a 17-point lead. They were in control of the game, and they took their foot off the gas, and Lillard had to do Lillard-like things to help them win that game. By the way, that's his 10th 50-plus game of his career. 10. That's incredible. And so I think Portland is a team that kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit, but I think they're in the driver's seat to get to that play-in game. They're only a half game back of Memphis at the time of this taping, and I think, you know, San Antonio's not going away, and so, you know, and Phoenix is theoretically still alive. They've been the best team in the bubble, so Portland's got work to do, and I think they need to find that chemistry sooner than later. But Lillard was fantastic against Philadelphia, and I think that loss to the Clippers that happened on Saturday, I think, and the social media fallout of that, I think that's really going to be something to watch how he plays from here on in.
You talk about the Philadelphia 76ers, and you mentioned it, Joel Embiid leaving that game against Portland with an ankle injury. Plus, there was news over the weekend, of course, that Ben Simmons now to have surgery on his left knee. Playoff success for Philly, a legit question, as on NBA TV, the question asked of Brendan Haywood and Channing Frye was, where do the Sixers go from here?
Where the Sixers go from here is home as soon as they get to the first round of the playoffs. There's a strong chance they get matched up with the Boston Celtics. And without Ben Simmons, I just don't see how they're going to match up. Ben Simmons is a great playmaker. I know he has some shooting deficiencies, but he's still a great playmaker and a great defensive player. They're going to miss that. A lot more attention is going to be paid to Joel Embiid, and he's got to dominate inside. Ben Simmons will be missed.
Channing, your thoughts?
I'll be honest. I think it comes down to, I don't think Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are a good matchup for that team. So obviously I hope Ben Simmons has a wonderful surgery and gets healthy and has an opportunity to play somewhere else. But right now it's about Joel Embiid. Can he lead this team? Can he prove the doubters wrong? And can he be more consistent in his effort?
Channing Frye saying that before we saw an ankle injury to Joel Embiid. But you look at what the situation is, Tim, and your take on the Sixers playing in a playoffs without Ben Simmons. What happens?
Well, I think they really need him to control the offense, and they also need he's got length on defense. I think, without him, I think it really changes the way they can play, because Simmons can go in, he can post up smaller players. He is a great distributor of the ball. And now I think everybody has to work a lot harder on their own. And so, and again, we don't know how the ankle for Joel Embiid's going to respond. And so, again, I hate to say this, but I really think it's going to be very difficult for them to advance, because the fact Boston's really, really good, they're healthier, and Philadelphia right now is down one of their two best players, and their other is coming off an ankle injury. It's going to be very difficult for the Sixers, I think, to move on in this year's playoffs.
Other news from the weekend was NBA awards finalists named, and let's start with the MVP award. Giannis, LeBron, and James Harden, the finalists. As we look at what we're seeing here, is what this race really is and what it has been, are we seeing what would be the first back-to-back since Stephen Curry with Giannis taking home the award, or might something else be in store?
I think Giannis deserves it. I think he's had the best year, and I think Milwaukee has been the class of the league since the opening tip. And so I think so. I think he deserves that. I think, both the other two guys are great. I don't know why we have to narrow it down to finalists, though. I think we should have an open, I believe in open elections, don't you, Lawrence? But I think Giannis is the choice there.
All right, defensive player of the year, Giannis in the mix along with Anthony Davis and Rudy Gobert. Nice to see Draymond Green on set at TNT for Inside the NBA, weighing in on his pick.
For my defensive player of the year, I got to go with AD. I think he came out in the beginning of the year and said, I want to be the defensive player of the year. And he's backed that up. He's blocked shots. He guards. He's really held the paint down for the Lakers. And, obviously they've played two bigs, but what AD been able to do inside and outside, he's got to be the defensive player of the year, in my opinion.
Draymond has one of these awards, probably should have two. But in this regard, he's seeing Anthony Davis, and I agree. Do you see that any differently?
I'd have to really I haven't studied the defensive side as much, but I had to say that defense is such a hard award for me, because defense is five guys, playing together. So to narrow it down to one guy has always been a little problematic for me. But I will say this, that to me, if you look at it, the Bucks are 2 points better in defensive rating than any other team. And they're 3 points better than the Lakers as a defensive team. So in my mind, I'd have to, if you're narrowing it down, I'd have to go with Giannis, because simply because the Bucks are that much better than everybody else. The team that's really interesting is the team that's in between the Lakers and the Bucks, and that is Toronto. And they, again, that to me says that we can't overlook them in the playoffs because they're that good defensively. They're that tied in. And so, you know, the five best defensive teams in the league are the Bucks, the Raptors, the Lakers, the Celtics, and the Clippers. And so those are teams to me that have to be right at the top as teams you think can win the NBA title.
With Tim Roy, I'm Lawrence Scott. Always great to be looking out at what's happening during this NBA restart as we head toward the playoffs. Thank you so much for joining us here on Warrior Sound.
This has been Warrior Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!